The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a child over, placed the child in their midst and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father. What is your opinion? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, will he not leave the 99 in the hill and go in search of the stray? And if he finds it, amen, I say to you, he rejoices more over it than over the 99 that didn't stray. In just the same way, it is not the will of your heavenly Father that one of these little ones be lost." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we get Moses' valedictory address in the first reading. Soon as he's about to die, he's giving his whole treasure, his last will and testament, verbally, to the people of Israel, with whom he had spent the last 40 years trying to guide them to God, to guide them to the promised land, to guide them to true fidelity. And he essentially repeats his main message, first to everybody, and then directly to Joshua, who would take his place. What was that message? First, it was a message of total confidence in God. The confidence he was always trying to get them to have, and the confidence that God was trying to give them through so many wondrous miracles. He said at the end, "The Lord your God marches with you. He will never fail or forsake you." Always remember that you don't walk alone, that God is always there. Even if it seems that he's not hearing you, even if he allows you to suffer, he is with you. He will never fail or forsake you. He marches with you. And that leads to the command, both to all the Israelites as well as to Joshua. Be brave and steadfast, therefore. Have no fear or dread. Brave, we all know what courage is. To be steadfast is a holy stubbornness. That no matter how many times somebody tries to bribe you, for example, the answer will always be no. No matter how many times somebody tempts you to do something else wrong, the answer will always be no. Not because of an intrinsic stubbornness, but because that love for the Lord is inviolate. And you're just not going to abandon him who always marches with you, who will never first fail or forsake you. That type of courage, that type of strong backbone. But at the same time in the gospel, we see another element of how that strength and how that backbone is supposed to be applied. The disciples approached Jesus and asked a question that was constantly on their mind. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They all wanted to be the greatest. They were all thinking that because the Lord, who they had already identified as the Messiah, had chosen them, they've got to figure out who's going to be the prime minister, who's going to be the cabinet secretary of this department or another. And Jesus actually shocked them. While they were thinking about what elevated position they were going to have in the Messiah's soon-to-be-inaugurated kingdom, Jesus was telling them they're not even going to enter it unless something radical happens. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus calls a child over, places the child in their midst and says, swearing an oath, amen, amen, I say to you. So Jesus wasn't making this as a rhetorical point. Swears an oath and says, unless you convert and become like children, you will not even enter the kingdom of heaven. That the way we're supposed to be strong, the way we're supposed to be steadfast, is coupled to humility. Gospel verse today, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. We need to become humble and meek like the Lord. We need to become like children. Jesus went on, whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What's this all about? Are we all supposed to go back and put pacifiers in our mouth and wear Depends in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven? No. But the strength that we're supposed to have, the holy stubbornness and resolve, is supposed to be totally dependent on our childlike relationship to God the Father. Jesus came to reveal the Father in the path to our becoming truly the Father's sons and daughters, not just in name, but in our life and in our action. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is sent by the Father and the Son so that we might cry out, Abba, Father, so that we might pray as children who know of the Father's love, so that we might always behave with the confidence that we are loved and protected by the Lord, that the Lord, the mighty God who marches with us, who will never fail us or abandon us, is a Father who loves us so much that when it was a choice between allowing Jesus to suffer that or for us to die forever, chose to allow Jesus to be crucified. That's how much he loves us. That's the source of our confidence. That's the source of our resolve to become great as children of the Lord. But notice that that isn't even enough. It's a starter. But it's not enough for us to just basically say, okay, I'm your son, you do it all. We then have to act at the same time. St. Ignatius of Loyola, the great founder of the Jesuits, said in an expression that I think many of you would have heard, we need to receive everything from God as if everything depended on him, but at the same time, we must work as if everything depended on us. To have that courage, to have that steadfast resolve, we need to march forward, like Moses was saying to the Israelites before he died. We needed to be able to blow down the walls of Jericho. We needed not to be afraid of the giants, even though we feel like grasshoppers sometimes. Because we know God is our Father, we're able to go out boldly. And Jesus talks a little bit more about our role in the helping everyone to become truly childlike in the faith. There's a passage that's excised from here, which says that if any of you causes one of these young ones to sin, better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown underneath the Braga Bridge. Because that's how serious the care for the young is. Jesus goes on to say after that passage that was excised, don't despise any of these little ones, because their angels in heaven are always looking upon the face of my heavenly Father. We've got guardian angels. Everyone's got guardian angels. They're always before the Father, praying that we might be truly childlike and humble, truly steadfast, truly courageous. God counts and loves 100 out of 100. That even if he still had his 99 sheep here, but one of his little ones went astray, he would go out and hunt down that one. Many times we have been that one, and God has never given up on us. He who marches with us will march with us into the ditch if that's where we have gone in order to try to bring us back. That's how much he cares for us. But the more we learn how to love like the Lord, the more we become true children of our Heavenly Father and share his desire, the hungrier we're going to be, likewise, to go out after every lost sheep. Unfortunately, we know that the circumstances today are that 21 sheep out of 100 come to Mass. 79 sheep don't. They don't even nourish their weekly relationship with the Lord. The Lord wants us to go out after them one by one with courage, with strength, with resolve, with filial confidence and incredible love. And the great way to spread that is by our showing what it means to be a beloved and blessed son or daughter of God. We finish with some thoughts on this feast, Saints Poncian and Hippolytus. Hippolytus was an incredibly bright young priest. He thought that he should be elected pope. When Pope Zephyrinus was reigning, he criticized publicly how he thought Pope Zephyrinus was a little bit of a wimp when it came to mercy. He thought he should be stricter when some people had lapsed under a time of persecution and not have been so merciful and indulgent in allowing people to come back. He didn't grasp this message in today's gospel. But when Pope Zephyrinus died, in his deacon, whose name was Callistus, a former slave, was elected the new Holy Father. That was it for Hippolytus. He basically set himself up in opposition to Pope St. Callistus. And that was the way until he and Callistus' successor, Poncian, were exiled to Sardinia together. And it was there that he learned to be far more childlike, that all his skills were supposed to be put humbly at the service of receiving what God wanted, that God wouldn't always choose the smartest, most capable candidate to be pope, but his own candidate, and that the Lord had his own plans in choosing a slave and making him a servant of the servants of God. And so it was there in a cave with Saint Poncian that Hippolytus had his massive conversion, became childlike, and entered the kingdom with faith, and entered it brave and steadfast as a martyr alongside the pope he used to oppose. He gives us hope that there's always time for us too to convert and become truly childlike. Most Catholics don't know that the second Eucharistic prayer was written by St. Hippolytus. Until this day, 1800 years later, we continue to worship the Lord with his childlike faith through his intercession and St. Pontius's intercession. Let us ask the Lord for the grace of true spiritual childhood so that we, receiving the Holy Spirit, might cry out, Abba, Father, and always live with the confidence and the beloved energy of someone who knows that the Father who loves us so much marches alongside. Praise be Jesus Christ.